back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. You listen to Bill Frank, and this is Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every day we're here 10 to 11 o'clock on AM 1400 KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme. Today's theme is losing it. All of my guests have been talking about losing one thing or another. My next guest knows what a problem it is for countless Americans who've lost their identity through identity theft. Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America. It's considered a white collar crime, so it's often less vigorously investigated or prosecuted by the authorities. The effects it has on your life, however, if it happens to you, are enormous and potentially devastating. My next guest is an authority on the subject of identity theft and recovering from its effects. If you want to call in and join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Mari Frank is an attorney, a certified information privacy professional, and creator and author of several books on identity theft. Her latest book is titled The Complete Idiot's Guide to Recovering from Identity Theft. It should be noted that Mari and I are not related, even though we share the same last name. She's a talker. She has her own radio show, Privacy Piracy, and it's on KUCI 88.9 FM down in Orange County. She's been on many shows, written many articles. Welcome to the show, Mari Frank. How are you today?
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Oh, I have to laugh because you're up in Ventura, right?
That's correct.
Well, my identity was stolen from someone in Ventura in 1996, and that's how I got into this. I had to become an expert by necessity. So I laughed because I became very good friends with law enforcement up there and helped to pass laws so that they could investigate identity theft as a crime against the consumer. So it's kind of funny that you're up in Ventura.
Well, what a coincidence and what a small world. All right, well, let's start at the beginning, Mari. Let's use your own case as an example. What is identity theft? And most of the time, I think identity theft is usually associated with some financial gain.
Right.
Tell us about identity theft,
okay.
Please.
Identity theft actually is the real definition, is the unauthorized use of your identifiers to commit some kind of crime or to attempt to commit some kind of crime. That's how the real definition is. And people don't, you know, obviously one of the best reasons you'll steal somebody's identity is for financial gain. So it could be credit cards, credit lines, mortgages, but it also can be getting health insurance in your name, getting health care in your name, getting governmental benefits in your name, getting your tax refund. It can also be things like stealing all the money out of your bank that won't even appear in your credit report, or getting student loans in your name. That's the financial stuff, but then it's insidious because it can also be to commit crimes in your name. That's what I'm working on right now, is a big case. This poor guy whose name is looking like he's got all sorts of crimes in his name, and we're trying to clean that up, which is not an easy thing.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's even cyber identity theft, and that's really become big. So let's say somebody doesn't like you, Billy,
and so
they create an email, maybe with Hotmail or Gmail, and you don't have one, and they say they're Billy Frank, okay, and that they have a radio show, and they start saying things to other people to discredit you. Now, I actually had a DJ that I was on his show. He told me that it happened to him.
Wow.
So we get ex-spouses doing it to each other. I had a gentleman who called me who said that his ex-wife had created an email in his name and then would have somebody send it to her threatening to kill her and the kids so that she could get custody.
Wow, that's
so
incredible.
Yeah, it can happen. And I even had a CEO of a company back east who found out that somebody in the corporation had made up an email, even put up a website to try and discredit him. So there's all sorts of identity theft, and of course, they're all bad.
Yeah.
If you think about the 9/11 terrorists, over half of them committed total identity theft takeover, and the rest of them had gotten credit cards and flying lessons using somebody else's credit. So this is something that is growing. You know, last year we had 11.2 million new victims. So if you're listening to this, I don't want to totally scare you to death, but you need to realize that the FBI says 1 in 5 people will become victims of identity theft. So I'm sure if you're listening to this, you have heard of people that this happened to, or you've heard or you've experienced yourself some kind of fraud, either on your credit card or worse yet, with your bank account.
We're talking to Mari Frank, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Recovering from Identity Theft. So, Mari, tell us, what are some of the telltale signs that indicate we're being impersonated?
Okay, very good. Well, I can tell you, like, what happened to me. I got a call from a company, a bank that I had never heard of, asking me why I had not paid my $11,000 bill to them.
So wow.
First, I was ready to get off the phone and said, this is a phony phone call, or this is phishing, or this is crazy. And then the woman said, well, wait a minute, isn't this your Social Security number? And then, of course, then I started to listen. So if you get a call or a letter from somebody, don't just throw it away. You need to look into it further. If you get an email that looks suspicious, don't respond to it. Go to the URL of your bank and see if there really is a problem with your account. Another thing that might happen is maybe someone will start, let's say you own a business and someone starts calling you and get aggravated that you took money from them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe someone has committed business identity theft in your name. So if you see something on your credit card or if you get a call from your bank, never talk to them until you call the number you know, but there might be a problem with your credit card. So anything that feels suspicious, anything that looks weird, if you're getting mail for somebody at your address, that may be a red flag.
And I always thought that was because my mailman was inept and he was just giving me, you know, the wrong mail.
Well, it could be, but let's say that the address on there is really your home address,
mm-hmm.
but it's got a different name.
Ah.
That could be that you got to look at that. So if you start getting mail for somebody else, or if you don't get mail, if you haven't gotten certain bills in the mail, that's a sure sign. So one of the things that we tell you for financial identity theft is get your free credit reports, and you can get them 3 times a year, one from each of the credit bureaus, at annualcreditreport.com. You can get all three at once for free, or you can get one at a time quarterly. And we suggest that you do that to make sure that you at least see anything on your credit report that might look suspicious, like addresses that you've never had, that you've never lived at. If your Social Security number looks a little bit different than, you know, maybe one or two numbers off, or if there's accounts that you thought were closed
mm-hmm.
and are suddenly open, that's another sign as well.
Those are all indicators.
Yeah, it can happen in many ways.
All right. We're talking to Mari Frank, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Recovering from Identity Theft. Mari, you brought up the Internet, and we're in a wireless society. We're connected all the time with computer or other wireless devices. All this data is flowing back and forth. What can we do to protect ourselves in this networked world?
Oh, that is such a great question because, you know, our information going through all these wireless lines, whether it's, you know, on an iPhone or whatever, don't put anything sensitive into an email that has your Social Security number in it or your account numbers unless you encrypt it. Now, people may say, gosh, encrypt. Well, that means that you scramble what is in there so it's unreadable. And people will say, gosh, Mari, that sounds so technical. You can very easily go to winzip.com, and you can download free software that'll help you to very, very easily encrypt. So, for example, whenever I send an email to my clients, I attach in Word, and I encrypt that Word file, then I call up my clients, and I give them the password. So you want to send things password-protected.
Mm.
Very, very important. And then everybody's on Facebook, or everybody is, you know, MySpace or the dating. And as soon as you do that, you really open yourself up if you're going to share any sensitive information, like your address. Like, even if you say your birthday and where you were born, they can figure out your Social Security number.
Sure.
So be very, very careful about sharing information online and look at the privacy notices. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those privacy notices are so confusing that you don't even bother to read them.
You need to be an attorney like you to be able to read them.
Well, they shouldn't be like that. They really shouldn't be. But the bottom line is don't share anything that might put you in jeopardy. Email is never, never, never confidential. It should be seen by anyone. Another thing is, when you are doing any kind of online banking, which I can tell you, actually, if you're very, very careful, online banking is going to be safer than sending a check through the mail or, just whenever you use the mail, it's not a good idea either because there's so much mail fraud. But getting back to what you need to do, whenever you're going to be using the internet, it's a really good idea that you have hardware firewalls and that you don't go someplace like Starbucks to do your banking.
Okay.
Just crazy, crazy kind of thing. So be real careful. Use anti-spyware, antivirus software. Make sure that you are protecting yourself. And then make sure that your username is just not your name. Make up a name that's a little complex, and especially for any kind of banking or anything sensitive, use 12 numbers, letters, and characters that you mix up and use that as your password.
Good advice. We're talking to Mari Frank, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Recovering from Identity Theft. Mari, if people want to learn more, they want to find out what resources you have available, where would you direct them? What URL would you give?
Right. Well, first of all, they can go to identitytheft.org, O-R-G, identitytheft.org, and that's my website. And we have there over 70 pages of free information. They can get any of my book, Safeguard Your Identity, How to Put Up All Sorts of Barriers, the Identity Theft Survival Kit.
Thanks, Mari.
Yeah.
Got to cut you off. Sorry, dear. We got to run. Okay. We'll have you back in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Billy.
Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Join us here every day, Monday through Friday, for KKZZ AM 1400 Positive Talk Radio. We'll talk to you tomorrow.